I don't know, I feel a little different this morning. I've often said that I've never really been nervous about preaching because I know what God has called me to do, and I always, it may have even been a little bit of pride, I don't know, I always felt like, well, I know I could preach. You know, that never really concerned me. But recently, over the last, I don't know, especially the last few years, there's a sense of a different responsibility or a greater responsibility in sharing the Word of God with you, because if we're really, truly stewards of God's Word, then what I'm sharing today is going to be an eternal truth for you and for me. And if I'm really sharing what God has to say, then there's, I sense that responsibility that sometimes I'm afraid to say something because I don't want it to be me. I want it to be Him. So to say I'm nervous, I wouldn't say that, but I do sense there's a greatness that God wants to pour out in this place every time the doors open. Right? From the first prayer prayed, from the first song sung, to the end of every service, His glory is being poured out. The prayer center. And so if that's the case, I'm not the only one with that responsibility, but each one of us, when we come in here, we're to be stewards of the Word of God. We should come ready to receive. Sometimes we blame it all on the preacher when it seems like things didn't quite go right. But you know, there's what I've found over time is that sometimes at least, the most difficult times to preach, it's not because I wasn't prepared, but it's because there was nothing being received. See, there's a flow of the Spirit of God, and He's pouring through people, and He wants to pour that to people. And it's like a watering, when you're watering a garden, when you're watering a plant, and it's absorbing that water, it's great, but once it's, well, if it's not taking it on, it's almost as if it's in vain. Now, it's never in vain to preach the gospel. It's never in vain to share the Word of God, but we have a responsibility as a speaker and as a hearer to be open to what the Holy Spirit has to say. Because see, He's really our teacher. I thank God for Gary. He's a great teacher. He's taught me many things, but really what he brings is illumination to the truths that are already in the Word of God. And I cannot live my life under Gary's illumination or even under the revelation that God has given him. I can't live my life that way. I have to have the revelation of the Holy Ghost. I need that teacher to explain to me and expound the truths of the Word of God so that I can walk in them fully for myself. And each one of us has that teacher in us. Amen. Each one of us has that available to us. So I want to encourage you today, as you receive from the Word of God, receive also the Spirit, from the Spirit of God, receive also from the Holy Spirit and what He's saying to you individually. Because I'm learning how to share from my spirit more than just from my understanding. Because see, if we can do that, then God can minister to your spirit. And then it will become truth that you can live by and that you can walk in and that you can apply to your life. Because, you know, we've heard a lot of truth. But if we really had the revelation of it, if we were really walking in it, I think we'd be in a different place than we are today. I know that I would be. I know that I would be. Hallelujah. So, and that's a little bit of what I want to talk to you about today is the authority that we've been given. And I want to talk to you about walking in that authority. So to establish a couple of things, let's just turn to the Word of God. These should be very familiar scriptures, but I want you to read them out of your Bible and see them with your eyes. We're going to start in 1 John chapter 4. We're just going to establish a few truths here. And then we'll see where we go from there. I have quite a few scriptures written down. I don't know if we'll get to all of them, but we'll do what I'll do my best to follow him. All right, 1 John chapter 4. Starting in verse 15, it says this: "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." So I want you to see, and I'm only going to take a few short passages because I'm just laying down a little bit of a foundation. As he is, so are we in this world. Now, you notice it didn't say as he was, but as he is, so are we in this world. So we are as Jesus is in this world. Okay, I want you to understand that. And then if we look here at Hebrews 13, chapter 13, verse 5 says this: "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever." So there's another truth. We see that as he is, so are we in this world. We're talking about Jesus. It says here that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if we want to find out who Jesus is, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, we should be able to look through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and see what Jesus was doing, see who he was then, and we see that he's the same today. So does that make sense, right? Yesterday, today, and forever. We could really go through any part of the Bible, but we know because this is when we saw him in the earth was in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So we can see as he is, so are we in this earth. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you could say this: what Jesus did, I could do. What Jesus does, I can do. Who Jesus is, that's who I am. As he is, so am I in this earth. Let's look at a few things that Jesus is. Matthew chapter 1. Or a few things that Jesus did. Or a few things maybe you could say that Jesus has. I said Matthew, but it's not Matthew. Let's go to Mark chapter 1. Verse 21. "And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, they entered into the synagogue and taught." I'm sorry. "He entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee." Now, did Jesus say, come bring all your demon-possessed people, I'm going to set them free? Did he advertise this is what was going on? Did he do anything like that? The thing is, it says here that he went to the synagogue to teach. And all he was doing was sharing the word of God. But he had such authority in the things that he was saying that even the demons recognized what was happening in Jesus. And see, this is the authority that he has given us. And when I say authority, I'm talking about the jurisdiction that you have in the earth. See, I'm sure you've probably heard this analogy before, but it's a very good analogy. When you think of a police officer has been authorized by the city most of the time. And in they have authority in that city. They have a jurisdiction and they have the authority to keep the law in that city. And a police officer has the authority to stop you from committing a crime. And if you're doing something that's against the law, he can tell you to stop. Now, in the movie, sometimes they say stop in the name of the law. But you know, he doesn't have to say that. He's standing in the name of the law. All he has to say is freeze, stop, quit what you're doing, raise your hands, put your hands behind your back, whatever he wants to say. And he has the authority to tell you to do that. But you know, really in that instance, there's no power in those words. It's just authority, right? If he's not a police officer, you could not do what he says anyway, and it wouldn't make any difference. But because he's been authorized, you must obey that. And if you don't, there is power to back up that authority. You decide to run, that man can hunt you down and call his friends, and they will stop you with the power of the law. Now, they have authority. That authority is to tell you to quit. But if you refuse to do it, they have power. He's got a gun on his hip. Depending on the crime you commit, he'll stop you where you won't do anything again. He has that power. If not, he's got handcuffs, he's got a nightclub, he's got things that will stop whatever crime you're committing. And see, it's the same thing. We have authority. We've been authorized by God himself. We've been authorized by the Holy Spirit to stand in the authority of Jesus' name. It's not about how well you can say the name of Jesus. It's how well you know who you are and what you are on this earth. As he is, so am I in the earth. And that devil has to stop when I say stop. And if he doesn't, he's given me power. The Holy Spirit has empowered us to stop the works of the enemy. Now you have authority, and by the authority of Christ, that's why I usually say I use the authority that's been given to me, my Jesus, to break the power of the devil in your life, in my family's life. But, you know, I don't have to worry about it, because if he doesn't want to do that, there is power to stop him. There is power, the Holy Spirit power, that as Gary had read just last week, I believe, talking about how Jesus cast out devils by the finger of God. See, we use our authority, but they have to go because of the power that's present with it. Make no difference if you don't have that power, and that's the problem. Some people don't. Or you don't realize the power that you've been given. That's why it's so important. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be endued with power from on high. It's something that he's given us to walk in. And that will stop a lot of the things that come against us. See, this is something that happened to me this week. Or something I was reminded of this week. As I was in prayer, I was kind of going over all of the things that have come against me and my family. And I just heard this. Just come right up out of my spirit. So why do you allow it? See, we've been taught a lot about unmasking Satan's tactics. We've been taught how to recognize when the enemy is coming against us. And it's not because we want to give him any, we're not trying to glorify the devil or make him more powerful than he is or anything like that. But it's important to understand, because if you don't understand that the enemy is bringing things against you, some people believe that that's God doing those things. You might think that God killed your daughter in a car accident, or God did these things in your life. And you know, God isn't interested in that. But the enemy has come to steal, kill, and to destroy. And the Bible says that the devil comes immediately to steal the word of God from you, to steal the truths that are being planted inside of you. So we have to be diligent and recognize that he's there. But also part of being diligent is standing in that place of authority so that when he comes, we not only recognize him, but we run him off because he has no true right in our lives. Now, just because he doesn't have a right doesn't mean that he won't show up. A lot of people want to know, well, did you leave a door open? It doesn't matter. You know, my in-laws love to leave their front door open all the time, especially when it's nice outside. And they don't even have a screen door. They just have their door open. But you know, that doesn't give anybody the right to walk in. Somebody walking down the street doesn't have the right just to walk in their door because the door's open. So, you know, you can fixate about what doors you've left open in your life all you want to, but the truth is you have authority over the enemy and he doesn't have a right to come into your house. And he doesn't have a legal right in your life if you're a blood-bought child of the Son of God, because you are his property. He has no right in your life and you have jurisdiction over your life to keep him out. You've been authorized and given that jurisdiction. You've been empowered with the Holy Ghost to run him off and to keep him out of your life. So in the end, we have to be exercising this. One of the words that came last Sunday, I printed it out. I don't know that I'll go there, but he talked about using our authority. It's not just for running off devils, but we have authority in the earth. According to Genesis, God gave dominion to man. He gave us dominion over the earth. And so we have a jurisdiction. We have an authority. Sometimes those lines get blurred in my understanding. I don't know how far my authority reaches. But one thing I do know is that in my life, I have authority over anything that the enemy would try to bring against me. Over my family. Over my home. Because those things belong to me. And I belong to him. So he's given me that authority. Let's look at another place in Matthew 28. Matthew 28:18. Again, these should be very familiar scriptures. So then Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world." And one more, let's look at Luke. These all kind of go together, but I thought it was important to share all of them. Also, I want you to see there's more to authority than just casting out devils. Because here he said, teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, when we go to Luke chapter 10, verse 18, it says, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." So here he says, "I've given unto you power." That word power there is actually the Greek word exousia, which means authority. So he's given you authority to tread on serpents, scorpions, over all the power. And that word there is power, dunamis power, of the enemy. And so understand that you don't just have, because see, power without authority, there's some things that a person can do legally with their authority. I can give you authority in my life. I can give you authority over my bank account. I can give you authority over my house. I can give you authority over my medical procedures. I can give you authority in different areas of my life. Or I could give you authority over all of those things. There's something called a power of attorney. And if I fill out a power of attorney and I put your name on it and I sign it and it's stamped by a notary, then you can have the authority to do things in my name. That's one type of authority that you have. And it's called a power of attorney because actually that gives you power to execute any document in my name, any type of thing in my name. But if I simply tell you that you have the power to sign something, right? You have it within you to sign it. But if you don't have my authority, it doesn't matter what power you have. All you are is a fraud if you sign my name without my authority. Jesus said this. He says, "You'll say unto me, Lord, Lord, but you know, we've cast out devils, we've done this and we've done that in your name." He says, "I never knew you." So see, it's not just about, we're often looking for the power of God in our life. We want to see these power, and we do. We want to see miracles. We want to see signs and wonders and healings and all those things. But if we're going to see that, we have to understand the authority in which He's given us, because we're going to see that through His name, through what He is doing. We see many people operating in the gifts of the Spirit, and we want the gifts of the Spirit. But if that's all you have, then you're not going to see the fullness of the manifestation of the glory of God, because we need His authority on the earth to see things change. We need His authority to bring revival upon the earth. And to have His authority, we have to know Him. We have to walk in His name, in His stead, and not just using His name, but knowing that we are in His name. We are in the name of Jesus, walking on this earth, performing the things that we perform. We're doing it in His name. Just like He said, whatever I see my Father do, that's what I do. And see, we ought to be able to walk in a place with Him where we understand what Jesus does in this situation is what we do. And we know that by walking after the Spirit the same way that we see Jesus walking after the Spirit. You know, after Jesus left the earth, do you realize that He left behind sick people? There were still sick people on the earth when He left. Now, I believe, if I'm correct, I'm not 100% correct on this, but I'm pretty close. I believe there's 19 instances where people were brought to Jesus and He healed them every single time. There was never a time that He didn't. But there were many, I'll just say it that way because I don't remember the number. There were many instances that He said, "Your faith has made you whole." Now, we're believing for a revival where the Holy Spirit moves through us in such a way that every person gets healed first time, every time, with no exceptions. But you see, in order to get there, we have to follow the Holy Spirit in every step of the way and realize that there may still be some that don't come. You know what I mean? They were healed. There were times Jesus went to a town where it says that He was not able to do any mighty works there because of their unbelief. And so there is a responsibility that each one of us has in order to walk in the fullness of this revival that's coming. And we can't make excuses for anyone. Each one of us has to live up to that in our own life. Each one of us has to find that place where we're walking with Him. And we're walking in the authority that He has given us so that when the enemy comes, because it's not if He comes, but He's going to come. He came to Jesus. He came to every single one of the disciples. He came with whatever He had to distract, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But see, when we walk in our authority in the place that God has given us, then He's not able to have power in our life. See, the enemy does have power, but most of the power that he has is the power that we give him. I mean, really. Because for the most part, it's been stripped from him. But if you yield to him, he'll do whatever he wants to in his life. And that's why it's so dangerous to not recognize. It's dangerous to allow the enemy to do things in your life and not take authority over that. And it's a deceptive tool that the devil uses so often. I mean, how many times, and I'll just speak of myself today, but how many times have I had, you know, a cold or a sickness of some type, and I just run to the medicine cabinet and pop a couple pills and think, oh, I'm going to be okay. You know, and I am, but that's not the point. See, when something comes into our life, it's coming for a purpose. And the more we ignore it and just simply allow it in our life, the more authority we're giving to the enemy. See, we have a place of authority. You can go take your medicine. Go ahead, take the pills, whatever it is that you're going to take. But you have to stop and say, I'm walking in the authority that Jesus gave me. And sickness, you have no right in my life. You have no right in this body. So when I take my aspirin headache, you have to leave. You got to leave anyway, but it helps when I have a little relief. But I'm not telling you not to take those things. I'm just saying that we can become so accustomed to it because advances in medicine, we can take pills for high blood pressure and for diabetes and for all these things to the point that we begin to live with it and say, well, it's okay because I got pills to get past it. But see, it's not okay. It's not okay. It doesn't have a right to live in my body. It doesn't have a right to have any place in me. I have authority over it, and it will not continue in my life. And when we begin to walk in that place, if we're going to see revival, we have to have authority in our own life. We have to have authority. We want authority over sickness and disease. We're talking about thousands of people coming in, and yet we don't have authority over a hamburger in our own life in order to get, you know, free, in order to walk in the fullness of what God has for us. And so we have to be able to take authority over our own lives and have authority not only over the devil, but we have to have authority over our own flesh, authority over the things that are happening around us, authority over these distractions that come our way, and walk in the fullness of what God has said and realize the calling that's on your life and walk in it. Amen. So anyway, I'm supposed to be teaching this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's look at Ephesians now. We're doing really good. You guys are good listeners because we're almost through all the scriptures today. We'll go Ephesians chapter 1. And I would encourage you, if you haven't made a habit of reading this regularly, I would encourage you to read it. I mean, I'd encourage you to read it every day. And even if you just want to be challenged, let's read it every day for 30 days. Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to begin in the 15th verse. This is a prayer that Paul had prayed, and so I believe it's a good prayer that we can pray over ourselves as well. He says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, the love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And when I read this, I like to read it like this. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to me who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. He's far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So I want you to remember, as we started out today, as he is, so are we in this earth. And here it says that he is far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that's named. And then he said that he's put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things in the church, which is his body. So we're his body. So no matter where you are in the body of Christ, what your function is, if you're the toenail on the pinky toe, you're still above all things, because it says he's put them under his feet. So it makes no difference what part of the body you're in, you're still above. You're above all things, all dominion, all of principalities, powers, everything that the enemy would try to bring against you. You are in him and he is above those things. So you are above all the works of the enemy. He has no right, no real power in your life, because it's underneath you. It's beneath you. So when he shows up, when he tries to stick his head up above your feet, when he tries to stand in front of you and tell you what you will and what you won't do, what's going to happen to you, you can tell him, no, you are under my feet. You're under the feet of the body of Christ, and I'm part of his body, so you have no right to stop me. You have no right to stand in my way. You have no right to bring sickness into my life. You have no right to cause all my cars to break down. You have no right in my life. Now, it might look like it for a time. Doesn't matter what it looks like. The Bible says this, let every man be a liar. Let God be true and every man be a liar. So it doesn't matter what the natural man says to me. What matters is what the Bible says, the truth of his word. And that is that I've been placed in heavenly places far above principalities and powers, dominion, and the things of this world. I have been set with him, with Christ. Amen. That's the place that we've been put. That's the authority that we have. And when we exercise it in our life, we can begin to see results. And I can tell you that this works. I can tell you that I've seen it firsthand over and over again. And I also, what I've noticed this week, when that quickened in my spirit, that why are you allowing it? I realized that someplace along the line, I had kind of eased off on that truth of the authority that I have. Because see, we're in the midst of a war. And sometimes you get hit enough times that you just start to expect something else to come. But the thing is, it doesn't matter. We don't have to expect anything. The truth is, I had come to believe that if I was going to be doing anything for God, I should expect the enemy to be attacking me. And if he's not attacking me, I must not be doing anything for God. But the truth is, we don't judge whether we're hearing God or not based on our circumstances. You cannot determine whether you're following God or not based on the things that are happening in your life. God is a spirit, and he speaks to us by his spirit. We understand him, we hear him, and we walk according to the spirit of God, not the circumstances around us. It's easy to look at something that happens to someone and think, I wonder what they did in order for that to happen to them. Or, man, the devil's really coming against them. They must really be doing something for God. But that's really not the indicator. We're led by the Spirit of God. But see, the devil will come. He will bring things against us. But when we know what God is calling us to do, we can walk in that authority that he's given us. One time I was in Kenya, Africa. And I woke up one morning in my hotel room, and I was sick. I ran to the bathroom. I'm sitting in the bathroom and I'm asking the Lord, what am I going to do today? You know, what am I going to do? I have things. There are things that I need to do today that, you know, require me to be able to function. And I heard in my spirit, what would you do if you were well? what would you do if you weren't sick? I said, well, I'd probably get up, get dressed, go down and have breakfast. He said, well, then do that. A Kenyan breakfast is a little different than an American breakfast. I mean, some of it's the same, but, you know, they have sausage and eggs, and this particular sausage that they were serving me was not my favorite, and it didn't always set well with my stomach, and I thought, man, I don't know. But I thought, well, this is what the Lord told me to do. And so I went down, and I ate my sausage, and I ate my eggs. My driver came and picked me up, and we went out, and the first place we stopped... This is kind of a funny story because the driver was a Catholic guy. And he was a good Catholic man. Like, he knew Jesus. He was a good Catholic friend of a pastor that I was ministering with there. But he was driving us around, and we said, we're going to go see this particular man. And he knew that this man was a witch doctor. And he said, I'm not going. And he said, no, we're going to go see him. See, what had happened is years ago, I think this was in 2012 when I was there this time, but I had gone in 2009, and this particular man had come to a church service that we were having. People were being filled with the Holy Ghost in a very supernatural way. I didn't even give a call to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Just asked if anyone wanted prayer, and they would come stand in the line, and they'd just all begin speaking in tongues. Well, we're having this service. This guy jumps up from the crowd and he starts shouting in other tongues. Just shouting and shaking and shouting. And I picked up the interpretation. I said, this man is saying, set me free. Set me free. And he screamed and he laid out there on the floor. We went on with the service. Well, after the service, this pastor friend of mine comes to me and he said, you know, that man... there's a witch doctor in this village. They call him a healer. Said he got born again not too long ago. They used to do these rituals as a witch doctor. And for people would come for healing and things like that. I know you may not believe in that kind of stuff, but I'm telling you, this is what was happening. And he had snakes and he had all kinds of things like that. And this pastor had went to him and he got born again. And they burned everything that he'd had. And he was truly converted. And that day he got filled with the Holy Ghost, got set free. Now, this back to the day that we were driving over there with this Catholic man. He still knows that he was a witch doctor. He don't care if he got saved or not. He knows this guy was a witch doctor and he was afraid. So we convinced him, you know, that in the name of Jesus, because you're a child of God, because of the blood, it doesn't matter. Even he's not doing it anymore anyway, but even if he was, you have authority. God will protect you. He can't get through the blood of Jesus. And we encouraged him. We got him to at least take us there. He wouldn't come out of the car, but he drove us to this man's house. His name's Daniel. Well, Daniel, we get there, and he's sitting in his chair. He didn't have a shirt on. He just had a pair of shorts. And, you know, it's his house, whatever. But you could tell that, I don't know if you've been around depressed people, but they tend to not get ready, not get dressed, not prepare for anything. They just sit around. And this was the state that we found him in. And again, 3 years prior to this, he'd been set free in our service. He's ready to serve God, whatever. But now he's sitting there in his chair, and one leg was swollen up really bad. He'd been in a terrible accident. And the thing is, Daniel didn't understand the authority that he had in Christ Jesus. Even though he'd been born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, got set free. What had happened when I talked to him, I didn't know this, but he had these bracelets on his arm. Didn't mean anything to me. The pastor I was with saw it immediately, and he says, what's that? And he told us, he said, well... in the night, these spirits would scream at me and just torment me, just scream and scream and scream until finally they said if I would put these on, then they would leave me alone. And it was a sign that he was still bound to them, even though he'd been born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. If he would wear the sign that he's still bound to these spirits, they'd leave him alone. And so we went in there and we prayed for him, took those bands off. We broke them. We prayed over him, commanded those spirits to leave and go. commanded healing to come to him. And when I left there, he didn't look any different than when I had got. Well, I shouldn't say that. His countenance had changed. There was a light over him, but he was still, he was walking with a stick. He could hardly move. And so some would say, well, nothing happened. But you see, the word of God is true. And let every man be a liar. And so later on that day, we left. And right there, at that moment, I remember, because like I said, I woke up sick that day. I wasn't going to go anywhere, and I didn't know what to do. But because I heard the Lord, and because I was willing to walk in that authority, I was just overcome. And I said, "This, I was born for this reason." And I knew that this man was truly set free. And later on that day, he called. He says, "Pastor, I'm walking without a stick." And the next day he called, he says, "I can walk, I don't," he says, I'm tending my cattle. I'm doing the things that I used to do. And there was a freedom that he had in his life. But the thing is, without the authority of Jesus, without knowing who he is and where he's walked, that man will end up the same way again without that authority in his life. And so each one of us, and we, you may not have been that bound. Maybe you were not a witch doctor. Maybe there wasn't anything that you were doing in cahoots with the enemy in that level. But see, there are deceptive things in our life that come from our past, and he'll continue to come and harass you with them if you don't understand the authority that you have over them. And maybe you're not putting on a bracelet to say, "Oh, I'm still bound to this." But are there things in your life that you know that God set you free from, that you still allow a place in your life? Are there things, I really don't know why I'm going this direction, but are there things All of us have a past. Every one of us have things in our life that maybe you're not proud of, or maybe the enemy used to torment you and harass you in a certain way. Maybe you were abused. Maybe it wasn't your fault. You may have been a victim. But, or maybe you are the abuser. Maybe there are things that you're addicted to that had had a stronghold over your life when you're young or younger than you are now. You've been born again, been set free from those things, and yet somehow you've allowed them to have a place in your life. I'm telling you today, you have authority, and it's not something for you to play around with. The things of the past, thank you, Lord. Lately, the Holy Spirit's been sometimes coming across really strong, and I pause because I don't want to come as though I'm being mean, because I'm not, and I don't think he's being mean, but I know that he's being forceful, and he's being authoritative in what he's saying, and he's not playing games. And what I hear in my heart is that it's time to quit playing games with things that have held us bound in the past. Don't know 100% what that means, but I pause there because I heard specific things that I don't necessarily like to even talk about, but I believe God is after something. You will see that he has saka. I'm a roquandela. And I have my nistandi ondo sambaka, wanda la borosita. Ye sana ha hoquataba fuandeste, dindo roquaya. Ye la marandastandi diustici. Vendia kanda hastan de hastichula. Ye la maranguande. But in this then you will sing de la quata and in de la quande and then you on my son de huasta. So yande he tosa makite. He didiasatala. Yea, ha ha ha. I chasten whom I love, says the Lord. And I bring you to account this day to look at what I have done and look at the places that I have brought you from and realize the freedom that you stand in and give no place or authority to the enemy. For it may look as though there's places in your life where you've not been free. It may seem as though there's places that hurt and that hold on to you. But know that for a truth, you have been set free. So when these things come to test you and to try and see, can they still live in your life? It is a time for you to stand in the authority and the power that I've given unto you, and you will see that they must flee. They must run from you. So do not give place to the things of this world. Do not give place to the addictions of the past. Do not give place to the sickness and disease that would bring itself upon you. But allow me to have your authority, and you'll see that my power will rid you of those things. So come with me. Fellowship in a place where my truth is reality. Come and fellowship in a place where my word is true, and don't allow the lies of the enemy and the circumstances of this earth to choke out the truth of my power in your life. For the enemy will come, and yes, in fact, has already come, to try and choke out what I am doing in this place and what I am doing by my spirit. But I say unto you that I am not in one. I'm not one bit disappointed. I'm not one bit changed in my instruction. I am not one degree off in what I have given you. Just continue and know that these things that come are nothing but a distraction and a lie of the enemy. And as you continue in me and you continue to trust me and you continue to follow me, you'll see that I will hold you and I will keep you and I will bring you through every attack the enemy comes against you with. And you'll see that that which I promised you, if you'll hold on to those things and walk as though they've already happened, you'll see that they will surely come to pass in your life. Oh yeah, haraka sabatisti che de bondasta te la boso colo. And I hear again, not one that's in this room, not one will miss the outpouring. Yeah, not one will see. Lord, I don't. How do I say that? Yeah. There's a stipulation. The Lord is saying, if you'll hold fast, if you'll stand, if you'll trust, if you'll follow the instructions that I've given, not one will see death without seeing the outpouring of my spirit. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. See, those are the things that scare me. Those are the words that I get a little nervous about, because I want to know that it's God. I'm not going to give you false hope. I'm not here to pump you up. I'm not here to tell you something that I think, but I know that God is serious about this, and He wants us free. He wants us, if we're going to walk in the fullness that He has, we need to be a well-equipped machine that's able to conquer the enemy. And so if you're going to do that, don't be surprised when He brings attacks into your life, and don't think that you've messed up and missed something because something bad has happened to you, but realize that the enemy is testing you, he's trying you, and there's nothing he can do to stop you if you'll hold on to what God has said. Amen? Realize that the Word of God is true, that we've been placed far above all principality, power, dominion, the things of this world. Come what may. I'm not going to say bring it on because I don't want it. But I'll tell you this, whatever it is, I'm going to walk through it with Him. Amen? There's going to be things that we're going to see that no generation has seen. There's things we're going to do that no generation has really done. Pastor Dave used to say, if you're going to have what you've never had before, you're going to have to do something you've never done before. So it means there's going to be some discipline. There's going to be some things that we're going to have to get out of the way. But as we do, He's there with us. As I started out today, as He is, so are we in this world. And He's given us a helper, a teacher, a comforter. So He's not expecting you to do this alone. He doesn't want you to get these things out of your life with your own strength. Flesh can't eradicate flesh. But through the Spirit, we do mortify the deeds of the body. Hallelujah. All right. Father, we just thank You for this day. We thank You for Your Word today. We thank You for the authority that You've given us. And right now, Father, we use that authority. We break the power of the enemy. The lives of those here today. Father, we break the power of the enemy against the prayer center in Jesus' name. We take authority. We say, no, You will not stop. You will not stop what God is doing in this place. Devil, You are bound. You must go in the name of Jesus. We use our authority and we say, there will be abundance in this place. There, the glory of God fills every service at the prayer center. And Lord, we're just so thankful that You're with us, that You're teaching us, that You're stretching us, that You're bringing us closer to You. And we pray, Father, that You have Your way today in the following service and in all that we do. May the things we say and do be edifying, glorifying unto You. In Jesus' name, amen.